Thanks, Mike. I guess I'm high E. Basically means I talk really fast. I'm excited. I don't know if it's really nerves or I just get really excited the fact that we get to talk about God. And so I'll blame it on that. You can blame it on nerves. I don't know. But that's what it is. Pastor John kind of talked about it a little bit today. Pastor Jim and Pastor Lisa are on vacation. It's a good thing. They're stressed out because of you and maybe because of me. But it's good. They're on vacation. They're just getting re-energized. And they're taking time just to be with themselves. So if you think about it, please pray for them as they continue to lead this church and the direction that we're heading. I'm super excited for where we're going. That Soul Man series that he's been going through. I love it. It's great. On the other hand, it's also challenging. But it's pushing us to new directions, that's pushing us in new places. So if you've missed any of it, I think it's on YouTube. You can catch that. You can soak that all up. But it's good stuff. I do not feel qualified to carry that on, though, today, because that's Pastor Jim's heartbeat, and that's what he's super passionate about. So he told me I could pause it. So today, I'm going to pause it, and I'm going to talk about trust. And it's something that I've been dealing with in my own life for probably a couple years now. How much trust do I really trust God? And am I going to walk that out in my life? So I hope you can kind of apply it to your life as you're being stretched, as you're being called into new things. But that's what I really want to start talking about today. So I'm going to start with prayer, and then we're going to open up our Bibles. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for your amazing love. Thank you so much for all you've called us to do and all you are going to call us to do. Jesus, continue to stretch us and continue to guide us. Please help Pastor Jim and Pastor Lisa to have a nice, relaxing time and have a great vacation. But right now, I ask that as we open up your word, that you would guide us and that we would learn from you, Jesus, and that we would learn to put all of our trust in you, Jesus, and we'd remember that you are God and we are not. Continue to love us, continue to care for us, and can you just give us that direction that you have for our lives? In your name I pray, amen. So if you have your Bibles, please open up to the book of Habakkuk. It's a small little book in the Old Testament. It's known as a minor prophet. I don't like calling it that because it seems like it's a little not as significant, but it's a small book. It's only three simple chapters, but it's good. There's good stuff in there. I encourage you, if you get the chance or take the time, to read it on your own, but we're going to kind of go through part of it today. I'm going to start actually in the end of the book. So those of you who like spoilers, who like to read the end of your books, or like to know at the end of the movie what happens, we're going to start there, and then we're going to go back to the beginning. So if you have your Bibles, Habakkuk 3:2, there we go, says this, Lord, and this is a prayer that Habakkuk is saying, Lord, I know how famous you are. I have great respect for you because of your mighty acts. Do them again in us. Make them known in our time. When you are angry, please show us your tender love. And this is a great and powerful prayer. And today what I want you to do is to begin to pray, if you haven't started, to begin to pray those big prayers. God, I've heard of your healings. I've heard of how amazing you are. Carry on. Continue to pray for those prayers. But as you do that, I hope you learn something from what Habakkuk learned, is that God is God, and we aren't. And as you pray those prayers, remember that God has a plan for us. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for this church. But God is God, and his plan will be made known. So what he's asking, God, make your amazingness, I know it's not a real word, but make it known to us. Help that we know who you are, and help that our children's children would know your love and how much you care for us and how much you love us. God, do those amazing things today. I know you can heal. I know you can do amazing things. I know what you can do. Please do those things. And if we were to stop right there, it'd be a great prayer, and we could just talk about that prayer for the rest of the day. But what I want to do is give you a little more, I guess, meat on your plate, a little more to think about, a little more to process, and a little more just to think about besides just this amazing prayer. Something I've been accused of is that I only put two things up on social media. One of them is my children, because I have five of them. I have plenty of opportunities to take and put up pictures of them. The other thing is I put pictures of food. And I actually looked at it last night with my wife, Courtney, And it is probably every other picture is food or my children. I do not apologize for that. I love food. I still love my children. Don't think that I don't love my children. But I do have a passion for food, so much so that I started teaching myself how to make food. Still, when I remember as in high school, I started asking my mom for like simple recipes, for simple things that I could do on my own. For example, you start with eggs. If you burn the eggs, you learn that you screwed it up. Nobody likes to eat burnt eggs. And then you grow from that. You make things like brisket because it's your birthday and you want to make a good dinner. So you make your own brisket because it's yummy and delicious. You make yourself jelly because jelly's good. Jelly takes a process. You can't just say, today I'm going to make jelly. You had to grow your own fruit because you're a nerd. That's what I am. And you grow your own fruit in your backyard. And then you learn to make pizza. Pizza is probably one of my biggest passions and that I really like. And my kids actually will now tell you that they like my pizza. It probably took 2 or 3 years before for me convincing them. Eat my pizza. I don't want it. It doesn't taste good. But my real passion of all the foods is probably bread. I don't know why. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing that you can go all around the world. You can learn about. Everybody has a different bread. Everybody has their own bread. But this is a bread that I made. That's also a bread that I made. But I love bread because it's pretty much probably 4 simple ingredients. You take water. You take flour. You can take sugar if you want. You can take a little salt. And you can use yeast. I didn't use yeast, but you can use yeast to create a bread. But you go all over the world, people make different breads, and they use different procedures. They use different times. They use different amounts of ingredients. And they create something different. But it's all bread. It's all something that we can have. This particular bread, I got out of a recipe book that my brother gave me. The recipe book is from California. It's a little shop of these two bakers. These two bakers traveled around the world to learn how to make this bread. They went to Europe. They went and studied under an Italian baker, a French baker, and I believe a German baker or a European baker of some sort. But they learned just to make this product. They made this so much that people asked them to make a book, and then they made the book that my brother bought and gave to me. And then I made the same bread through a process of making a leaven. That leaven is something that I keep in my house and I feed just about every other day. And now my children affectionately call it my pet because I have to feed it, I have to take care of it. If I don't feed it, it dies and then it doesn't do its magic anymore. So last night or yesterday, I used that leaven to create this. So I had to trust the recipe. I had to trust the people that made that recipe, that put that in the book to get to this product. I had to trust them that I was going to go on a journey to make something that looked like that or make something that looked like this. And we went along that journey to make this. This isn't something I went out to the store and bought. This isn't something I could pick up. Now, some of you are probably thinking in your mind, that's a waste of time. Yeah, it could be, but I like doing it. I love that creative. I love the aspect of taking food, getting together with people or just with my family and giving them something that we can talk about or we can just talk around. I just love that and I'm fascinated. It is maybe a waste of time. You can go buy bread, but it isn't the same bread. If you think it is the same bread, McDonald's and the Chicago Chop House are serving the same meals today. You get to choose the atmosphere you get to eat that meal in, okay? So today, I want to take you on a guide along the recipe. The recipe is given to us in the Bible, but the recipe maker was God. And as we go along this path, I hope that you can develop your own product. My product was this bread, and then what am I going to do with my life? What are you going to do with what God has given to you? Where are we going to go on this journey? So Habakkuk, back to Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a man, and you may say Habakkuk. There are many other ways to say it. The only way we know how to say it is to ask his mother. He was not around for the interview, so I'm going to say Habakkuk. However you choose to say it, I'll let you say it. That's all right. I'm not going to get frustrated with that. Habakkuk has the same problems that we have today. He has sin, and that's the same thing we deal with day in, day out. We have rebellion. We have injustice. We have death. We have wickedness. We have evil. We have depression. We have discouragement. We have despair. All these things Habakkuk is calling out about. He's asking God, where are you? So if you have your Bibles, now we're going to go to Habakkuk 1:2, which is the beginning of the book. We're going to start near the beginning. Ooh, listen to those turn, those pages turn. Love it. Magic. All right, Habakkuk 1:2. Lord, how long do I have to call out for help? Why don't you listen to me? How long must I keep telling you that these things are terrible? Why don't you save us? And right now, Habakkuk is frustrated. Ooh, I'm frustrated. There we go. He's frustrated. Where are you, God? He's calling out. These are called emojis, if you don't know. They're fancy little smiley faces that determine or tell you how you're feeling. Habakkuk is frustrated. So he's frustrated. He's calling out to God. He sees the wrongs in the world, which many of you do in your daily lives. He sees those wrongs, and he's calling out to God and saying, where are you, God? You know, I see this happening. I don't see an answer. I see this wrong, and I see all these people hurting, and I don't see an answer. He's asking the question, why? Why are these things happening? And if you begin to continually ask the question, why, and you're not seeing an answer, you begin to get frustrated. And that frustration leads to doubt. And you begin to hear of other people that call out to God, and they say, they call out to God, and God answers. You know, that person called out to God, and mountains moved. Or they called out to God, and their prayers were answered. People were healed. People were saved. All these things happened. But God, I'm calling out to you, and I barely see the grains of sand moving in my life. Or I'm continually calling out to God, and nothing's happening. God, why aren't you hearing me? Why aren't you listening? Do you even care about what I'm going through? All these are lies. All these are things that the enemy tells us. But they're truth that they go through our mind. You know, I'm supposed to be moving mountains with my prayers, but I can't even get the grains of sand to move in my life. The little things aren't changing. The little things. I'm praying for these big things, but nothing's changing, God. Where are you and why don't I see you moving? And a lot of times we feel like we're just calling out in an empty room. God, do you even care where I am? These are all lies, but the things that creep into our mind, they creep into our life. And if we allow them, they'll tear us down continually and discouraging us. Before we go on, I have to put a pause. As we go through Habakkuk and look at his questions are all just that. They're questions. It's good to ask God questions. God, why are these things happening? And we wait for his answer. However, Habakkuk never accuses God. There's two different things. It's all right to ask a question to God. God, why are my kids sick? It's because they have snot running out of their nose and they keep running it on, and then they rub it in each other's hair or something like that. Something disgusting because they're children. But it's bad to say, God, you're causing my children to get sick. There's a big difference. There's a huge difference. And Habakkuk never accuses God. He's always asking questions. Why do these things happen? Why are the grains of sand in my life still not moving? Continuing on with the prayer, Habakkuk 1:3 says this, why do you make me watch while people treat others so unfairly? Why do you put up with the wrong things they're doing? I have to look at death. People are harming others. They are arguing and fighting with each other. And Habakkuk right now is basically saying something that many of you have said. The bad guys are winning. The good guys are losing. The bad guys have the better stories. They have the better houses. They have the better cars. They have the better lives. And yet, I am here serving God, and my life is hard. It's hard for me just to get by. While these guys, the criminals, the gangsters, those that we probably should put in prison, seem to be doing just fine, God. They're getting along just fine with their life. Why is my life like this? Why is this happening? And why does this look like this in my life? Habakkuk 1:4 continues, the law can't do what it's supposed to do. Fairness never comes out on top. Sinful people surround those who do what is right, so people are never treated fairly. Habakkuk's asking the question, why is there injustice? Why are there wrongs? Why do we continually have these problems? And it's the reason the most popular books in Christianity are, and probably still will always be forever, are books about the end times or books about the rapture. God, I'm sick of this. Get me out of here. This stuff is hard. I don't like it. I would like to go home now and take me. Take me now, God. I don't like this. And this is why some people have chosen to completely unplug their lives. They said, I don't want to watch TV anymore because everything on TV is filth. I don't like the garbage coming through there. Or they unplug the internet. They don't listen to radio anymore. They don't want to be in contact with anything. They don't read the newspaper because there's nothing but garbage in the newspaper. And they completely disconnect from that. So they take their guns, they take their dogs, and they move out in the middle of nowhere somewhere. So when God returns, he's going to find them in their vegetable patch, ready for him. Here I come. I'm ready for you, Jesus. But Habakkuk is not disconnecting. The story began with him walking through his town saying, I see this. Why aren't you doing anything? I notice this, God, where are you? Because if we disconnect, if we pull away, if we disconnect from everybody around us, we're not doing what Jesus did. See, how are we ever going to love people if we aren't ever with them? How are we ever going to care for them if we don't know what they need? And how are we ever going to show them love if we don't care for them and we aren't near them anymore? Habakkuk is frustrated. Yes, he's frustrated to the point that he wants to quit, but he's asking God, where are you? The book of Habakkuk continues with, we finally get an answer. But before that, I want you to think about this. Is when you watch news, the news next, what are you answering? What are the answers you're receiving? The news, are you asking the same questions? God, where are you? God, what are you going to do about this problem? Where are you? Why aren't you answering these problems? Why are these people over here suffering? Why are these people over there hurting? Where are you, God? What are we going to do? When is this ever going to get better? When you check out of the supermarket or the grocery store or wherever you go, look at the magazines. What are the answers that those magazines are providing? What is the answer? What are they trying to give us? It's because of sin that we have this stuff. It's because of sin we are at this point that we have everything we have. It's the reason we have the news stories. It's the reason that we are where we are in this world. I read this story the other day about this guy who scalped his girlfriend. I hope she's his ex-girlfriend. She's still alive. It ended up well, I guess. He scalped her and then had his dog attack her and then picked her up and told her to look at herself in the mirror and then ridiculed her for a little bit before the cops finally arrived. And you say, well, that's horrible. He must have had a great reason. I don't know what kind of great reason you could have. Well, basically, the reasoning was that she put something on Facebook that he didn't like. And we live in a world that's the reason we have it is because of sin. We live in a world that says, this is what we have. We have sin, so we're going to have this. These are horrible things. We have horrible things in this world because of sin. So Habakkuk 1:5, we finally get our response, and God replies, look at the nations, watch them, be totally amazed at what you see. I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe. You would not believe it even if someone told you. And it's at this point we want to throw a parade. We want to have good times. God has finally heard us. God is finally going to answer us. Finally, he's going to do something. He does care about me. He does love me. But then we have to remember what we learned in elementary school, to read or listen to the whole thing before we respond. We are happy, but not for long. Habakkuk 1:6 says this, I am going to send the armies of the Babylonian to attack you. Quick question. If you do not grow in the church or you don't like history at all, the Babylonians are the good guys or the bad guys? Bad guys. Gold stars for everyone. Good answer. They are the bad guys. They are not the Red Cross. They are mean. They move quickly. They sweep across the whole earth. They take over places that do not belong to them. These guys are bad. These guys are crazy. And Habakkuk is now confused. I've been praying for this. We are hurting, but yet you say you're going to send an army. Maybe you missed this. Maybe you said we wanted more pain, God, but we don't really want more pain. We're already suffering enough, and the confusion sets in. And then we get really stressed because this doesn't make any sense at all. And we're stressed out because, God, I'm already suffering enough. And you said you're going to bring an army, not the Red Cross. You're not going to save me. And we get stressed because this is not our answer. This is not what we would like. This is not what we would have done if we could have wrote this story. Habakkuk 1:7 continues, they terrify others. This is the Babylonians. They do not recognize any laws but their own. That is how proud they are. So put yourself in Habakkuk's shoes. You have been praying because you've been walking this city for a long time, and these people are suffering. And now Habakkuk finally gets his answer, but it's not the answer he wanted. It's not what he had hoped for. Habakkuk 1:8, this is probably my favorite verse, not because it's very encouraging, but it's really graphic. Their horses are faster than leopards. They're meaner than the wolves in the dark. Their horsemen charge straight into battle. Don't you guys get a big image in your mind? They ride in from far away. They come down like eagle diving at its food. And if you think about it in your mind, if you've ever read Tolkien or if you've ever seen it, the movies that we're portraying, that's exactly what it is. When the orcs are surrounding Minas Tirith or one of the castles, They're surrounding it. They're about ready to take. That one little bit of hope is about ready to be wiped out. And that's the image that God is telling Habakkuk's going to happen to him. That's the image that he's describing. Habakkuk, this is my plan. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up this army, and I'm going to destroy it. And you're going to be destroyed because of it. It is horrific. It is scary. Another emoji, scared emoji. It's scared because of what is going to happen to him, of what's going to happen in his life. So let's think about this. Where is Habakkuk in this story? Habakkuk was in a city. He was crying out for the people around him, his sphere or circle of influence. That's what he's calling out for, because that's what he saw. As he's walking around, he sees these people. He cries out for them. And he cries out to God and says, God, where are you? Why don't I see you? Why do I only see these people hurting? And it's the same thing we have now. Now, nowadays we have the internet and we have information being transferred all over the world, shrinking our world, but we still only have a small world of influence, a small sphere. Ooh, that's a big word. Sphere of influence. The people around us, the only way that I can care for somebody overseas or the only way that I know about somebody overseas is if I allow them into my life. I either searched it out or they searched me out, but there has to be a connection. So that sphere of influence is still so small. So Habakkuk is crying out for these people that are around him, and God finally answers. But when God answers, he says, you see this, Habakkuk, but this is what I see. See, you only see your world, you only see what's around you, and you say, I am not moving, but I am moving, Habakkuk. See, Habakkuk didn't realize was the Babylonian army was being raised, and the Babylonians are not good guys. The Rolling Stones named an album after him. That should give you a clue whether they're good guys or bad guys. But the Babylonians are going to come. Now, to create the army that is going to do this destruction doesn't just happen. It's not an overnight sensation. You can't just raise up an army with poof. And he doesn't use a storm, which I love. He could have used anything to destroy these people, Habakkuk and his people. But God uses an army, which means that when Habakkuk's crying out in this point in his life, God was over here creating this. See, God knew that it was going to take time. It was going to take energy. It was going to take resources. It was going to take people. It was going to take training. It was going to take lives before he had enough and a big enough army to do what he's going to be doing, to wipe out these people. So when Habakkuk's at this point, he says, I don't see you moving. God is at this point saying, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to need this army. I'm going to create this army probably even before Habakkuk was born, saying that we're going to take this army and then we're going to be used. God knows what's going to do. So in our own lives, when we're crying out and we're saying, God, I don't see you move, God is over here, and he's saying, I see everything. I know it's, I'm creating something, but we have to trust that path that he's going to take us. We have to trust that he has our best interest in mind and where he's going to take us. The rest of chapter 1 is Habakkuk crying out to God saying, you made the wrong choice. And he's basically arguing with God. And whenever you argue with God, you can read it in other places in the Bible, you're going to lose. His first argument is that bad things shouldn't happen to Christians. That's a horrible argument because you've never studied the life of Jesus. Jesus came down from a throne. A throne is a place of comfort. People serve you. People do things for you. He came down from a throne. He came to this earth, and he lived a not such a great life. People made fun of him. People ridiculed him. People tried to kill him his whole life. And then he got to the end of his life, and he was killed. Not necessarily a great life. But that man, Jesus, is the man we're supposed to be most like. So if you think we're not supposed to suffer, then you've never really studied what it says about Jesus. If we're supposed to be like him, we are obviously going to suffer somewhat in this life. His second argument is comparison. Habakkuk says, we're the good guys, and the Babylonians are the bad guys. The Babylonians are killing other people. We're not killing other people. The Babylonians hate you, God. We don't hate you, God. And this is where God kind of sets him up and says, you didn't hate me at first. I loved you. You were my people. I did everything I can. I loved you, but you continually walked away from me. I cared for you. You rejected me over and over. Yes, the Babylonians are bad people, but yet you've rejected me. You can't compare yourself to the Babylonians. You should compare yourself to God. Are you ever going to line up with that? And we are never going to line up to that. And today we can still do the same thing. We still in our life, we say, I'm better than that person, or I am not as bad as that person. But what we're doing is we're comparing ourselves to that person instead of comparing ourselves to Jesus. And every time we compare ourselves to Jesus, we are going to line up and we're going to fall down because none of us are perfect. None of us are going to succeed in that one. And that's why God came down to this earth. That's why he came to this earth for us, so that we could someday stack up and be close enough to God, because he came and died for us. We can now be on the same level with God. We all fall short, and we've all sinned. Habakkuk was basically saying, the Babylonians are bad. I'm better than the Babylonians, God. I'm pretty much the same as you. And what he's saying is that I am like God. It's a little hidden argument, but that's what he's doing. But I want you today to say this. Say this with me. I am God. Good job. Let's do it one more time. I am not God. That was even better. Good job. But it should give you a sense of relief. You are not God. So tomorrow when you wake up and your day just seems like it's going to go down the toilet, you are not God. When you don't know where your life is going, you are not God. When you get that bad report from the doctor, you are not God. He is, and he has a plan for you. He's going to take you somewhere, but you have to trust him on that journey. And that's what Habakkuk's learning, and hopefully that's what we're going to learn today, or that's what you'll be able to take home, that you are not God. Will you trust him when the Babylonians are on the hillside and going to wipe you out? That's what Habakkuk's asking. Will you trust me then? Will you trust me when you lose your job? Will you trust me when you don't know what's going on in your life? Will you trust me when confusion sets in and you have no idea what you're doing with your life? Will you trust me? Will you trust me that I have your best interests in mind? Will you trust me where I'm taking you? Will you trust me? Will you trust me with your mouth, the things that come out of your mouth? Will you give them to me? Will you trust me with your budget? Will you trust me with your diet? Everything you have, God says, will you put it in that basket and will you give it to me? Or will you hold on to some things? You don't necessarily know where that journey's taking you, but will you put it in that basket and say, God, I trust you with this. You do with it because you have my best interest in mind. You take it where you think it needs to go. You have it and you do what you think is best. Every day you're going to get that opportunity to say, God, I trust you with whatever. You fill in the blank. My budget, my diet, the things that come out of my mouth, the things that are in my brain. God, am I really going to give them to you? Every day you'll get that chance to say, God, I trust you with whatever. You guys can fill in the blank. See, at this point in the story, hopefully you've realized that Habakkuk isn't really having a great day. At this point, Habakkuk has realized his city, his family, and himself are going to be wiped out because that's God's decision. That's God's decision for his life. So now we're now back to Habakkuk 3:2, where we began. And now we have a little more context to this awesome prayer. Lord, I know how famous you are. I have great respect for you because of your mighty acts. Do them again for us. Make them known in our time. When you are angry, please show us tender love. And it's such a great, powerful prayer, and it's such a great place to be after you realize what Habakkuk has gone through. So remember Habakkuk when you have pain in your life. When we're going through the Soul Man series and you're being stretched, remember Habakkuk. As we go forward through this year and through the coming years, and Pastor Jim and Lisa are leading this church and we're going forward, remember Habakkuk. Remember what he went through. Here at this church, I have the great awesome responsibility of leading the younger versions of yourself, the next generation. And Habakkuk 3:2 has been one of my prayers for them for probably the last two and a half years, that this generation would rise up and say, I know how famous you are, God, that you, I know that you can do miracles. I know you can do healing. I know what you can do, God. Please do that in my life. That this next generation would put everything they have into that basket and say, God, take this and use that for whatever you want to. I don't know where I'm going. If a third grader, a fifth grader, a 12th grader will get to the point that they say, God, I've got this. I can do this. I can put this in that basket, and I give that to you. God, you do with it whatever you want. You take me where I should go. You take me. I trust you. I trust you with everything I have. And if we get to that point, if we get to this point, then we should get to this point in how Habakkuk ends, 3:18. But I will still be glad because of the Lord, for what the Lord has done. God, my Savior, fills me with joy. Habakkuk was just told he's going to die, but he has joy. The Lord and King gives me strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. The feet of deer, if you picture a deer, he's dancing around. Habakkuk is excited. He helps me walk on the highest places. He is excited. Habakkuk knows it's not a great day for himself, but Habakkuk knows that he's willing to give everything for what, where Jesus is going to take him. And if we get to that point, Jesus, what can we do in this community? What can we do in this world? What will we do throughout forever? If we get to the point that we say, God, I give everything to you. I trust you with everything you have. And I love the last sentence. This prayer is for the director of music. In other words, Habakkuk says, take this, make it into a song, and sing it for generations. Yes, my life is not perfect. My life is not great. But I know I can tell other people about how I trust Jesus and how much he loves me. So back to the bread. The bread that we began with was a recipe. To get to this point, I had to trust the recipe maker who put it in writing, and then I could read it. Now, the recipe maker, I could read that, and I would have flour, I'd have water, sugar, maybe a little salt, or leaven, or yeast. And I could just let that sit on my counter. But it never becomes bread until you take that lump of dough and you throw it in the oven. And if you had an opportunity to ever interview the flour, the water, the sugar, the salt, and the yeast, it would probably choose not to go in the oven. Because the oven is hot. It's 500 degrees. It has to sit there for 20 minutes. That doesn't sound like a great time. But if the bread had the choice, it would say no. But I get to choose, and I say put that in the oven because I know the product that's going to come out. I know that this is better than that lump of dough that could be sitting on my counter. And God's saying the same thing to us, church. As we move forward, are you going to sit there like that lump of dough, or are you willing to go through the pain? Because it's not going to be easy. God says, I have a path for you. I have a desire for you. Are you going to trust me with your life? Are you going to trust me where I'm taking you, or are you just going to sit on the counter and never really hear what God's calling us to do? So I want to pray for over us that we continue to listen to God and we'd listen for where he's taking us. Because I think it's going to be amazing, but I don't think it's going to be the easy path. It's not the one that everybody wants to take. Nobody's screaming, I want that. Nobody's screaming, I want Habakkuk's life. But here's the answer, is that we have to remember that you are loved. Each of us are loved. Each of us are loved because God said, I will send my son, and I care for you enough that I love you. I love you enough, and I have a direction for you. I have a path for you. Are you ready for that? Are you going to accept that? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for Habakkuk's life. Thank you so much for his direction, God. But just help us just continue to find ways to put everything we have in that basket. Everything we have in that basket that says, I trust you with this. I trust you with everything. I'm going to put it all in that basket, and I'm going to continue just to live a life that is no longer sheltered, but I'm going to continue a life that shows you to everybody in my life. And as we're continuing to stretch, as we're continually moving forward, God, I hope that we all just encourage each other as we go through the hard times, as we go through where you're taking us. In your name I pray, amen. Awesome. You're dismissed. Happy Daylight Savings Day, huh? Yes, ma'am.
I'm having week visits with my son Dion.
Are you really?
I'm all overnight too.
Sweet.
So me and Nick are sharing custody. Like he's in 1 week, I'm in 1 week.
Okay.
So once he gets to famous school, he's going to here.